nice to sing that doxology again. It has been so long since we've sang that, and the simple words of it are so powerful. So today I'd like to open by reading to you a couple of verses from Psalm 34. I read this earlier this week, and like, if that's not for opening a church service, I don't know what is. So, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so excited to be here today. It is so good to come and to bless your name, to give you praise from our mouth each and every moment of our day. Lord, our soul makes a boast of you, Lord. You are the only thing we have to boast of, and we are humbled to hear of your word and the mighty works that you do. We magnify you today. We exalt you today. We come together, Lord, to bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The Lord really spoke to me this morning. I had a great time with the Lord this morning. Great time. And he spoke some things to me. I wasn't really asking, but I was kind of hurting. Kind of like, is it Brenda that shared the testimony? Thank you. Because I kind of felt like she did. And I know sometimes we all feel that way, don't we? It's like, God, what are you doing? You know, is it me? What's going on? I just don't understand. And so that was kind of churning in me, but it's been there a long time. Because like I told you before, I tend to make people angry. And I always thought, man, God, I'm a terrible person. But anyway, the Lord started to speak to me, and he took me to Daniel chapter 10. This is not part of the message at all, but I kind of looked at it and I said, all right, Lord, you share a lot of things with me, so I'm not going to share it with the church today. It was just for me, maybe. So I want to be careful with, you know, with what you give me. Well, then Brenda shares her testimony, and I'm like, yes, Lord, it is for the church. So I want you to look at something with me. This is a verse that the Lord gave me this morning. It's Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. Daniel 10, 19. And it says, and he said, now it's an angel that's speaking to Daniel because of his prayer earlier. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. This is for the church, folks. Take this in. This is the Lord speaking, I believe, to you and to me. So he says, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spake to me, I was strengthened, and I said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. But I like where he said twice, be strong. Folks, we've got to be strong in our convictions. Strong in what the word tells us and what it says. You got to be strong, because there's always those that are there to tear you down, tell you how bad you are, how wrong you are, or just don't want anything to do with you. And sometimes you feel rejected and like an outcast. But the Lord says, be strong. Be strong. Let me give it to you in the New Living Translation. Can I do that? I call it the Kool-Aid version. It says, don't be afraid. He said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. Let me read that again. I love it. Don't be afraid. He said, that is the angel, for you are very precious to God. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we don't feel precious to God. We even sang the song about love. We don't feel loved. A lot of times we feel like we failed. Talk about sometimes not being able to forget the past and the wrongs we might have done. And so we think, God, I'm not worthy. But he says, don't be afraid, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. Amen.
Amen.
And this is God's word to us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I guess we'll have to shift gears here. But let's go. Learning to respect and honor God's word. You know, I think this is really, really important. In Philippians 2:12, it says this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does that mean? So this verse is emphasizing the importance of actively engaging in one's faith and spiritual growth. Folks, we got a part in this. Well, I think, well, I'm saved, so whatever. You know, I go to church once in a while, I read my, I'm a good person now. You know, I'm okay. But the scripture says, hey, wait a minute, you have a part in your salvation that God's given you, and you need to take part in that. You need to work on it. You need to build your faith. Has anybody ever gone on vacation? Dumb question. We all have, right? Do you just say, okay, let's go on vacation. Do you just jump in your car and go? Huh?
Sometimes.
You mean there's more? If you're running, yeah. But you know, we don't do that. We have to think about it. We have to plan it. Where do we want to go? How are we going to get there? What are we going to take? How long are we going to stay? What's it going to cost? What do we need to do here? You know? You plan, you think, you get things worked out, but yet, and it's like salvation, we don't give it a second thought. It's like, hey, I received Jesus. I know I'm saved. I'm okay. And we go about our lives. And things happen that maybe we don't go to church for a few weeks because we're busy. You know how summers are around here in Michigan. They're busy. So we don't give it a lot of thought. But we need to. The Lord says it is important. We need to work it out. So it says, first of all, work out. Work it out. So work out here in this scripture suggests that believers are to put their faith into practice, living out the implications of their salvation in their daily lives. Then it says, with fear and trembling. Aspects reflects a deeper reverence and seriousness towards God and His work in our lives. It acknowledges the weight of our responsibility to respond to God's grace with humility and with diligence. Folks, let me ask you this. Did you prepare for today? Did we? Sometimes we just get up and we go. I've seen people pull into parking lots at a church arguing. I know they're arguing. It's, man. And when they get out and they see, oh, praise the Lord. praise the Lord. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. You know, and you go in with this mask. Inside, it's churning. Just wait till I get you home. Right? Been there. We've done that. But you know, we really need to pray. If you to prepare and to pray about it. If you really want to get all that God has gotten for you, folks, you've got to have fertile ground. Doesn't he talk about tilling up that old foul ground, hollow ground? You got to prepare it. You got to get it ready for the seed to be sown. So we've got a responsibility. Yes. You know, and so Philippians 2:12 says, man, you need to work some things out. Yeah, you're going, you're saved. You've got Jesus. But let me tell you, you could have a lot easier walk. You could be more blessed, and you could be more of a blessing to those that need you. Folks, there's a lot of children today from Christian homes who aren't walking with the Lord at all. Now, a lot of that's their choice, because I've seen good Christian families have issues. So I'm not trying to put blame. I'm just saying we need to make sure that we're good examples. And then let them make the choices as they grow up. So we all have our individual attitudes and responsibilities. So anyway, this does not imply that we earn our salvation in any way. So if you're hearing that in this talk, that's not true. You can't earn it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is by grace are you saved. Through faith. Lord. It's not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God. So you know, you can't earn it. I'm not talking about, and the Bible's not suggesting that you have to earn anything. Man, you're saved by the grace of God because of what Jesus did. But he wants us stronger. He wants us closer to him. He wants it that when we're hurting, that he can speak to us and we can actually hear him. Amen? Amen. And that's what you need to do, is get a preacher that really hears from God, that's going to give you the seed, that's going to help you to grow and to mature in him. Amen? You get a lot of ministers that, you know, they just want to kind of tickle. Didn't the Bible talk about that? In Timothy? You know, you want everybody to love you, but I've given up on that. Not everybody loves me. You know, I think it's sometimes my wife doesn't love me so much. So I'm one of those. I'm one of those that's very opinionated, and I believe what I believe. But I think God's made me that way, because I've gone through hell walking with the Word. And it's okay. It's not about me. Amen? It's about God and his Word. So I'm going to share it. And I take my stand, and that's where I'm at. And see, that's why the Lord had to give me that verse this morning. And I pray that you received it. Amen. Pray that you had a heart that the ground was prepared and you're ready for all of that to come in. See, God always wants to minister. He always wants to bless us. If you're not being blessed, better look at the ground, because the seed's being sown. And if it's not growing, maybe you better get the hose out. Maybe first hit yourself with it, then water the garden. All right. So it doesn't imply that it's works. It's definitely a gift. But rather that we are called to live in a way that reflects our commitment to Christ and the transformation power of the Holy Spirit within us. In essence, this verse encourages believers to take their faith seriously, to grow in their relationship with God and to be mindful of the holiness and the majesty of God as they navigate their spiritual journey. You know, I've talked to people and I try to share with them different things in the Bible. And I've had a lot of them say, well, I don't believe that. I said, well, it's right here. I don't care what that says. I don't believe it. You know, there's a lot of people don't believe that the spiritual gifts are alive today. And it's like, okay. It's not what the Bible says. That's why I don't care what that says. That's why a preacher once told me when I said, I preach the whole Bible. And he said, you can't do that. Because of, he didn't believe in the gifts. And he's a pastor. Thank God, I don't think I'd ask him to pray for healing for me, amen? Because it might not work. But see, that's where people are, and I see that a lot. You see, God's freedom, that is his grace, is for us to be able to choose. We can choose to believe or not believe. We can choose to live in sin or to live in righteousness. Romans 6:16 says this. It says, do you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? This is the TPT translation. I love other translations. It helps. So now you want to choose your master. So he gives you the freedom to do that. And it says, but choose carefully. For you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master. And it will own you. Can you believe that? It will own you. It will take your freedom. And it'll tell you what to do. And you know what the reward for that is? Death. But say, we can choose. It's a choice that we make. We have an opportunity. It's free. God opens it up. Now you choose what you want to do. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. You know, I hear Christians all the time, well, I'm just not that good. I can't be righteous. I try hard, but I just can't measure up. You're right, you can't measure up. But let me tell you, you're righteous because of what Jesus did. And who is in you, if you're saved, it's Jesus. And when God looks at you, you know what he sees? Jesus. And what he did for you. Y'all know that? So I'm free. I didn't earn it. I didn't have to buy it. All I had to do is receive. See, I made a choice. I don't know, 40 or 50 years ago. I made a choice to walk with Jesus. That was my choice. Because I had been in sin. And I didn't have much of a choice then. So it's a choice that we make. Now in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, I'm sure you know these verses. And the Amplifies, it says, do not be deceived. Folks, a lot of us are deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed or treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts, his word, to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, talk about seed, preparing your heart, planting seed, So whatever a man sows, this and this only, it says, is what you'll reap. I have never gone in my garden and planted corn hoping to get tomatoes. Know what I'm saying? The seed that I plant is what comes up. And that's the same way with you. So what seed are you sowing? Because the Lord says that's what you're going to reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
Lord,
I'm so thankful that the Lord loves us as much as he does. You know, there's a lot of bad things that happens to good people. And a lot of people look at the churches and they think, man, they're worse off than we are. That's not true. But we may go through a whole lot, but let me ask you, what are you sowing? What are we sowing? Man, if you want to reap a good harvest, you got to sow some good seed.
Yes.
I always try to sow certified seed. There was a percentage on it that says that there's like a 0.01% weeds. Like they can't get it all. You know what I mean? But I try to use a certified. Now, if I just use a grain that I cut off of my farm and planted it, I get garlic, I get weeds and wheat, and you get docked for all of that. Plus, it hinders the crop from producing what it needs to produce. Folks, you got to watch what seed you sow. It says, work out your salvation. You've got it. It's yours. I paid for it, Jesus said. Just work it out. Keep your heart right. Watch what you plant. And reap a good harvest. That's God's desire for us. So that's what we've got to do. It's like we've got a part in this. Man, a lot of people say, well, I don't know what happened. It just happens. There ain't nothing I can do to change it. Well, I think that's a lie. From the pit of hell. You can change it. God will change it. But you've got to take an active part in how you live.
Yes, we do.
There are a lot of times, I'm pastor of a church, and a lot of times I didn't even want to go to church. You know, I it's terrible. Here I'm a farmer, I'm a big dairy farm. And, you know, I say I love being a farmer because if you get a bad cow that acts up, you just sell her. Well, you can't do that in a church. Y'all know what I'm saying? No, you got to work with people. You got to love people. You got to teach them the word. Teach them how to plant, how to till the soil, how to fertilize. What do we do? And there's knuckleheads that won't listen. But they get hurt a lot. And then they come back and say, hey, what was that you were saying about this? I said, I'll work with you and help you. I don't have all the answers, but I know the one that does. Amen. And he'll speak to me and show me, and he'll do the same with you as he did with me this morning, and he did over there with Brenda before. But that's the God we serve. Let me show you how serious God is about his word and how he hates sin. Have you ever read the account of Ananias and Sapphira? That's in Acts 5, 1 through 11. You know, they sold a piece of ground. Here they're Christians. They were saved, I'm assuming. They sold a piece of ground to keep up with another guy who sold all of his land. And so I think they're just trying to be popular in church. So they decided to scheme. And he talked with his wife, Sapphira, and he said, hey, what do you think? What do you think maybe we keep some of that money back for a rainy day? You never know. This might all change. And if we have some setback, we can always fall back on it. Kind of an insurance policy. And Sapphira said, you know, that doesn't sound bad, but do you think that's the right thing to do? And he said, oh, who cares? Who would care? I mean, we're giving them all this money. That's good enough. Do you ever think how you serve God and what you, it's good enough. It's good enough. God is just thankful for what little you do, if you do anything. And we're better than so-and-so. Right? We give more. We make more. And here, we're giving some people aren't giving anything because they don't have anything. But look at all that we're giving. They'll be happy with that. Who cares? God won't care. Not a big deal. So Ananias goes in and lays it at the disciples' feet. And Peter says this. He said, you sold your ground for a different amount than this. Ananias kind of looked like, I've been caught. I've been found out. Folks, y'all think you can sneak things past God? You know, people think they can do that. Oh, well, God will. It's like he'll never know. It's not a big deal. And so then Peter said to him, he says, why have you conceived in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? While it was still yours, it was okay for you to keep it all. But you devised this plan to really lie to God. And then it says he fell down and died. Pretty harsh, huh? Folks, that's what I'm saying. The word's serious. We've got to understand that. God is not playing with his word. He loves us so much, and he'll bless us. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that can go on that you kind of get out of the protection of God, and bad things can happen. And Sapphira came in later. The young man already carried him out to bury him. So Peter called Sapphira up and said, did you sell the land for so much? And she said, yep, sure did. Folks, that's why it's so important for wives, if husbands make wrong decisions, bad decisions, because they're not walking with God like they should or as strongly as they should, or they're in a weak moment or whatever, that the wife says, I won't be part of that. Man, that's lying to God. If you don't want to give it all, just tell them and give a certain amount. See, stand up. That's what my wife does all the time, and it just bothers me sometimes. But I'm glad she does that. She keeps me straight. Ananias would have lived. He wouldn't have died had Sapphira said something, but no, she was part of it, so she fell down dead. See, God couldn't let bad seed grow up and produce a crop in his new church. That was his baby, and he wasn't going to tolerate it. So things can happen. We have to really watch what we do. See, the actions of Ananias and Sapphira show a lack of integrity and a desire to deceive, which goes against the principles of genuine faith and trust in the Lord. goes against it. This record, our recorded incident, should serve as a powerful warning about the seriousness of dishonesty and the consequences of sin lying to the Holy Spirit. It underscores the importance of integrity and faithfulness within the community in the church. So the fear that arose was not just fear of punishment, but a reverence for God's holiness and the seriousness of his judgment, reminding the early church of the sacredness of their commitment to God and one another. You know, many of us today would say, boy, I'm sure glad that was then. I'm so glad that God is so merciful and so full of love that he overlooks all of that now. But does he? But does he, really? Look at with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to start with verse 27. This is put in the Bible just after receiving of the bread and the wine, which we did last week. Remember, I stood here and told you, you need to check your heart. You need to see where you're at. If there's anything in your heart that's not right, you need to get it right. And then take, and only then take, of the Lord's Supper. See, that's why I said that. It's important. We need to get our heart right. See, God's serious. He's real serious. But, you know, a lot of times as we look at all of this, it kind of puts us down. We kind of think, well, I'll quit going to church. You know, God doesn't really care. But see, just the opposite is God does this because he does care. He really does. So if you're taking any of this in a negative way, you're taking it wrong. Because this is very positive. It's very positive because he loves us. So then let's read. Verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, verse 30, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, they've passed on early. Now, I'm not saying anybody that's weak or sick or has passed on is guilty of sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if we're not careful and hold up God's standard and God's word in our heart, there could be problems. Folks, every time something bad happens to me, which sometimes is quite often, I go to the Lord and say, Lord, did I do something wrong? Did I preach the wrong thing? See, I'm held to a higher standard. Those who teach are held to a higher standard. And so I really pray and go over things. That's why I had to get up early this morning and pray over this again, over my message. God, I want to please you. Yes. I'm not here to please man. It never works with me. My thing is I want to keep you happy. Yeah. So folks, I share this out of love. God gives it to us so that we might understand it. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." See, this trains us, is what it does. God is training us. He's trying to build us up. He's not trying to hurt us, tear us down. That's not what he's trying to do at all. So we need to learn to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling of what Philippians 2:12 says. Our Father God, this is the last scripture I want to give you. Our Father God commands blessings on all of us. So I want us to see here what God says. It's important for him. So I want to do that in the Lord. It says, "May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace." This is what the Lord wants for us, what he wants for our church. So y'all, I see some long faces. That's not what it's about. I'm going to read one more scripture. I'm sorry I lied to you. Hebrews 12:5 and 6 says this, "And have you forgotten his encouraging words spoken to you as his children? He said, 'My children, don't underestimate the value of discipline and training of the Lord, or get depressed when he has to correct you. For the Lord's training of your life is the evidence of his faithful love. And when he draws you to himself, it proves you are his delightful child.'" I watch a lot of parents today that let their kids just do anything, it seems. It's easier for them. Just let them do it. They're just going to argue, bicker. They won't let me alone. Go do it. You won't play in the traffic? Get in the traffic. Have fun. Hopefully nothing happens to you. You know what I'm saying? But see, God is a good father.
Yes, he is.
And he cares so much that he'll even chastise us a little bit. Just so we realize that he does care and you need some training. Amen? Did you ever correct your kids? Yeah, sometimes they need some extracurricular activities, right? And exposure to, I always got a cow halter. My dad cut everything off except that one big strap that went around. And it was thick. So whenever it came across my back, it would raise a whelp. And it would turn real red. And where it crossed, it would bleed. Now, that's probably severe. But I did get a lot of training out of that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, may we be encouraged in it. Because you're a good God. You ask us and you tell us to call you Abba Father, which is Daddy God. Thank you for your correction, your training, your leading by it. Lord, help us to surrender and realize that your word is everything and it needs to be respected and honored. So Lord, I ask that you would help us all to do that. We can do nothing perfectly. But Lord, let our desire be to fulfill your words, your calling, and to love you and allow the world to see our stand is for you and that you live within us. So, Lord, thank you for your training. Thank you for all the leading that you give us and your Holy Spirit who shows us the way. Thank you, Father, and we give you praise in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.